Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Hold on, this is going to be hilarious.
What's that?
Yeah, I just would like to get a credit for my bank account. Yeah, I have my account number right here. It's C18312.
You're right, it's very funny.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just need to return that. Yeah, I can hold. I'm on hold. Yeah, okay, great. All right, thanks. Okay, bye.
All right, first, let's bring our guest.
That's pretty much how it went down.
That is pretty close.
I have a recording of it.
That's
I am prepared to play it.
Let's bring our guest into the mix. As you've already seen, the title of your, although I don't know your last name, so they will know it, but I won't. I know you as Ben.
Yeah. You just broke the timeline. Hurts my head.
You are welcome. So, Ben, what's your last name?
My last name is Cleaver.
Cleaver?
Yeah.
That's a great last name.
Just like June, Wally, and the Beef.
Yeah. But it's spelled differently.
It completely is completely like different.
The Klingon version of Cleaver.
Really?
It's, yeah.
Is there like an umlaut involved? Or?
Yeah. There's a couple of kaplas in there.
It's actually K-L-I-E-W-E-R.
See, I told you.
Yep.
All of this is a bit, by the way. You're the victim of
it. I really hope so, because it's good.
There's a 7 in there and a silent Q.
It's a good bit. You spelled it, and I went, uh-huh, and then there was a moment where I just, like, I lost. I didn't even, couldn't even see the word.
Syntax error.
Your spirit left your body for a moment.
Blue screen of death.
That's what your Cleaver stands for. It separates the spirit from the body.
Yes.
Just by the spelling of your name. So, here, real quick, and then we'll talk to you about your awesome project that we just saw, is that I went to IKEA
today. I'll just play it for you.
Okay.
Here's what I got. You ready?
Oh, is that why you wanted to feed?
Yeah. Oh, that's the only reason I ever want to feed. No.
Hold on. Hit pause.
I haven't done it.
Because it's better if they hear the backstory, because then they get to, yeah.
I think they should hear it from my point of view,
which
is just this voicemail.
Fair enough.
Okay. Here, it should be played.
Is it not playing?
Let's go.
Hello. This is going to make you laugh, but this is Justin Worsham. I'm calling because you guys installed a kitchen a while ago for me, and I'm here at IKEA, and one of the parts that that you had to purchase on the day of my install was not there, I guess, in the original delivery, so they want me to verify that it was needed or if it was not. 3111 West Wyoming Avenue. The install would have been done on July, I want to say, 11th.
Pretty good.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Okay.
That's stupid.
So there were no panels there. Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Just to be clear, I get this voicemail. He never calls during the day. I'm in a meeting. I come back. I'm like, oh, Justin called. I hope everything's okay. He never. If he calls, he does not leave a voicemail. So I'm like, this will be good. I was so confused. I legitimately thought, I wonder if he was speaking to me in code and that he's actually in dire straits, like someone has a gun to his head, and I should have been able to pick up the message through that story. Like, I almost regretted texting.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah. He texted me and said, is this code? Or was that message coded? I think is what you said.
Just in case you needed to break it.
You're right. That was much funnier. I don't even remember that. I like the pauses.
It's pretty legit. Because, like, I'm like, oh, he thinks He like, oh, he doesn't realize that I'm on the line. I'm like, no, there's no way he has two phones up to his head at the same time to leave this voicemail. What is happening
when
to
I
me
said,
right now?
This is going to make you laugh. I didn't know I was talking to me in the future. I broke the timeline again.
So what happened time traveling, Justin?
So I had in the house that I just purchased is we had an IKEA kitchen put in. And so when you do that, they tell you, you build a floor plan, and you're not an architect or a contractor, but you do that. They give you the power.
Crayons. And...
Yes, they give you this this inability to, a power you cannot control.
Yeah.
Like you,
okay.
There
this is good. This is good. This
a
will
power
be
you should not have responsibility for.
It's good.
And they say, build your kitchen. And then they go, now buy your kitchen from us. And then we're going to send somebody out to measure your kitchen to check your work. Only after you've purchased it from us. And so then they send somebody out to check your work. And so then the guy measured it, and then they came and installed it. Well, there was parts that were, A, missing the first time that they did not deliver that I paid for. And then there was parts that he needed when he came to install them, like the guy. So I had to go get them and all that stuff. And so I'd already returned everything that was left over. There was also parts left over, which I thought was awesome. And so I'd returned all that, and so then I found this other
kitchenette.
Stuff. Yeah. I found all this other stuff that needed to get returned, so I took it back, and then I go, well, I need a claim number, because they tell you you have to call this number. So I call this number, like, once a week for 3 weeks straight, and nobody ever returned my call.
So IKEA!
So now I'm back there. This is, like, the third time I've gone there to return stuff for this kitchen, and so I'm there, and I want this to be the last time, and I'm going through everything, and there's a $90 side panel that they said that I bought on my original order. But they said, we don't know if he used it in another part of it. And I said, well, if I bought one and he needed me to get one, then what? Now, mind you, this is like a $3,000 plus kitchen order that I've done.
And they're squabbling over
$90.
IKEA's hurting these days. That's how I understand. They got to cut all the corners to make room for all those meatballs.
that horse meat really got
Because horse meat isn't cheap.
No. It's hard to find that.
That is the caviar of Eastern Europe or wherever the hell they are. But anyway.
IKEA-land.
I think caviar is the caviar of Eastern Europe,
That math checks out.
Yeah. So anyway. So she's, and then she also says, well, is this within 10 days of your order? Then, you know, I go, no, it's not. And then they like to give me an attitude because it's not within 10 days of my order. And I said, well, hold on a second. I go, I got your installers. It's not my fault that your installers were so backlogged that they, you know, that I can't get it in there in time and everything. So I go, so she goes, well, you need to check with your installer to see how many of these panels he used. And so I go, so I'm just going to, I'll go, okay, you finish doing this. I'm going to step over here and make a phone call. So I step over, and I was maybe, no exaggeration, 10 to 15 feet away from the desk. But I just wanted to, you know, be in the moment. You know, $90 is on the line. And so I'm like sitting there.
So a little dinner theater is in order.
Yeah. So I go through to try and find the number to the company. And then I go, why am I calling the company? I go, this chick's giving me attitude. I'm going to hose these people for this
$90. Nice.
And so I go, oh, I'll just have a pretend conversation. I went, no, who better to have a pretend conversation with than my best friend Kevin Miller?
Had I picked up, you would have just gone into
it anyway. I would have said, I think had you picked up, it was just hang with me. And then I would have just done everything. And you just said, okay. Yeah. And you probably would have done something.
I probably would have given you a confirmation number.
In my mind, I was like, I wonder if this is a mistake, because if I do this and I call Kevin, then he starts making me laugh in front of these people. And I'm like, what do you care? This is all for nothing. So I just,
$90.
All I needed to do was, and that's why I paused. Like, I just wanted to seem like a conversation that would take that
Meanwhile,
long.
Meanwhile, you're doing the old symbol for phone.
This is how I hold my iPhone. I hold it with my thumb and a pinky on the top.
On the top and bottom.
That's the best way to take advantage of your case.
Right. Actually, that's the first time a phone actually fits in there since the advent.
Steve Jobs knew what he was doing, Kevin. He knew what he was doing. Ashton Kutcher will teach us that.
So that's your superpower.
That's my superpower.
It's to design a kitchen and get $90 back.
Yeah. So if you got that problem, you just call in the enforcer here.
Yeah.
And I will come down and get you here.
I posted something on our Facebook recently to ask everybody what superpower they want.
Oh.
But our guest here tonight is a master of superpowers.
I am. I am.
What superpower do you have?
I melt into a puddle of mercury like the T-1000.
Wow, that's in your
that's in your
short film?
No.
Oh, I was gonna say your budget.
That's real. We didn't go real.
Your budget's this is farcical.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not on the clock.
Well, Ben Cleaver is here to talk about Watch Geeks. Is now, do you want this to be a TV series? What is your goal for this?
Basically, what we've put together is we've purposely made this for the web.
Mm-hmm. Heard of it.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the World Wide Web or the Internet?
Yeah, I'm on first name basis. We just call it the woo.
The woo. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
I read it.
Nice.
I am embarrassed to say I've never heard of this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's an interconnected worldwide network where people come together to bitch about movies.
Oh. this is that thing. Wait. No, this is that thing Al Gore did.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm familiar.
It's a series of tubes.
I'm familiar. I thought that thing was a phase. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, we've specifically,
I didn't get what it deserved.
A series of tubes. we've specifically written this series for the web to be in, you know, sub 10-minute episodes. The pilot's on watchgeeks.com right now. That's geeks with an X, by the way. Watch with a W.
It's one of the W's.
And a silent seven.
So. It's a fair question with your last name.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, we've designed it specifically for the web. You know, we've kicked around the idea of developing kind of a TV pilot from what we've already done. But we've got the first season written for the web. And right now we're raising money for it, but basically it follows our characters that we call the geeks, which are our five main characters. Four of them appear in the pilot, and then another main character gets introduced in the second episode once we shoot it.
And they have superpowers, is that right?
They do. They are underground competitive video game players, and at a midnight underground tournament, they get struck by lightning and gain superpowers. And the first season,
they don't die.
Now, in the pilot that we just watched, had that already happened, or has that not happened?
That has already happened, okay. And the whole first season is kind of their origin story.
Great.
Their Batman Begins, or their Spider-Man 1, if you will, where they kind of, throughout the season, they'll begin to discover that they have these powers as they go through the season, which is full of surprises and
twists and turns.
Yes. Yeah. But as you can see from watching the pilot, basically it's kind of a device to deliver just all this really referential comedy where, you know, anybody who loves comic books and TV shows and video games and, you know, if you go to Comic-Con, you know, our jokes are specifically designed for you, you know. You know, we reference Double Dribble, which is a basketball game from 1985.
Well, here's what was funny is that your character, he plays the character that references Double Dribble. If you go to watch hit pause, go to watchgeeks.com, watch the pilot, because it'll make everything make much more sense from here on out. But is that what was great is that, like, you were, in a sense, playing me. Like, I never played Zelda.
Right.
Yeah. And so, but I played a ton of Double Dribble. Right. Like, and so it was funny for me to go, oh, that's funny. And then watching everybody react, I was like, in my mind, I'm watching it going, no wonder, like, I didn't find out I was a nerd until I was in my 30s. Like, because I didn't have friends like this. I go, what? What do you, why, what? Like, and then my favorite, too, was that the line to that where he goes, why would you name a game after a penalty? That is a solid point for Double Dribble. And it's because it was a horrible game that was a lot of fun to play. It was horrible, but I loved it, but it was,
You had the great cut scenes when you dunk the basketball.
That's cool.
It was just flash. It was like four images that would flash across the screen of it, because they couldn't define race in the game, so it was just a gray guy jumping up in the air. Yeah.
That's worse. That's worse.
It's worse. A generic gray man.
Yeah, he's not black or white or Asian. He's gray.
He's sick.
It's just
he's no ill. Color. He's tremendously ill.
But very good at dunking a basketball.
Meanwhile, colorblind people are like, is he red or green? Why did they make that green guy in here? I can't tell.
I don't understand. Nice.
Well, how much money are you looking to raise?
Well, we spent about $7,000 shooting the pilot, and that's because we went through all the rigmarole of getting pilot.
You did it legitimately.
We did it legitimately. You know, we rented a lot of really great equipment. You know, we had a lot of really professional people donate their time, and then we just spent the money on equipment, and then we also, you know, we did permits from the city of Burbank. We shot right here in Burbank.
Wow.
And
did you shoot in the GameStop at Empire Center? Is that where
that's where we shot. Yeah, that's where we shot.
It looks familiar.
Yeah.
How much does a permit cost in the city of Burbank? And why did you feel you needed to go that route?
Well, we had found why did we feel that we needed to go the route of getting permits?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, couldn't you have just made friends with people in Game Portal and shot?
No. Yeah, we could have. It was mostly like part of it was we wanted to set out and do it legitimately. Like
sure.
We were like we want to do this and we want to do it right. You know. And it would have been tremendously more expensive if we went without a permit and then, you know, a police officer walked by and was like, hey, do you guys have permits? And we're like, let me check.
God.
Run! Yeah, everybody, cheese it. It's the fuzz.
Hold on, we have to load up our gear. Hold on.
Sip. I'm looking at, it's in this stop. Camera that I'm putting back in the bag, yeah. I'm sure, somewhere in here. It's somewhere.
Give us an hour and a half to escape from you and then start chasing us.
And it's, when Kevin asked that question, it started making me think it's an interesting obstacle that I'm wondering, because with this new generation of things being brought from the internet to television, mm-hmm. the people who create them, if you learn these kind of guerrilla tactics and then you're forced into the quote-unquote corporate world of television production and you don't know the process and you don't know what things can kind of clunk you up or slow you down, it is kind of smart to think ahead of the game and say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this legitimately for the sake of giving myself my own little minor in television production.
Right.
But also if something comes out of it, then we've done it all legitimately. Everything's fine. We don't have to constantly be looking over our shoulder. We can focus on what we're trying to create.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time with the cops actually. Are they looking for
Burbank cops are.
Non-permitted film shoots?
Well, Burbank cops like to
shut.
Give tickets and they like to bust people.
That being said, I was at that same Burbank. What's the name of that center?
Empire
there?
Center.
No, that's not the Empire Center. Where Game Portal is? That's not
Game Portal? I thought he said the GameStop at Empire Center.
No, that's Game Portal over by AMC 16.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Where we shot. That's
well, I've seen a dude. There were two dudes out there playing music.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff. And the cops.
How was that again?
They can't see it, but there's a drum here.
I really wish you would have bought their CD.
Oh, it was so good. Well, a cop came by on a bicycle and was like, he said something to him and then proceeded to write him a ticket right in front of an audience of people. And the whole crowd, started by me, went boo.
You boo the cop?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Because I knew the crowd would because everybody was into it.
Yeah.
So I was like, these poor guys, I'll at least make it. And you can't get in trouble for booing a cop.
Yeah.
You can boo cops all you want.
In Burbank, boo. You can. Okay.
Yeah, probably. I ran after I pecked at my camera and went home.
Yeah. So, I canceled that music video shoot.
So what? I mean, what are the like? Were you legitimately worried, or you just wanted to do it right?
Well, it was a little column A, a little column B. We didn't have a small operation when we were in there. I mean,
really?
We had a lot of lights, we had a lot of equipment, we had a lot of people. You know, there was probably 15 or 20 people on set when we were shooting.
Noticed.
So we would have been noticed. Also, we were there. We had to shoot between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. is when we shot that. So in some of the shots, you can see that we're still shooting while there are people down there. Because we shot on a Friday and a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because we got cheaper equipment rental over the weekend.
Right.
So, but you in some of the shots, you can still see there are people outside. And in fact, one of the shots, somebody takes a picture of us. And I'm
nice.
Like, somebody thinks this is like a big Hollywood production or something.
It will be. They'll be like, watch Geeks. I sure did.
I did. I lived it, Donnie.
I have a picture of the glass to prove it.
Yeah.
I swear they're in there behind the reflection of my flash.
Yep.
That's an interesting thing. What that just made me think of is that, you know, like I've walked by and I saw like, what was that, Boston Public? Or what was that show that him and James Spader and
Boston
Bill Shatner?
Legal.
Boston Legal.
Boston Legal.
So I guess they were shooting something when that was still running and they were in
they
a
shot
club.
That in Boston.
Oh.
They shot that in Boston.
But but no, he was walking in there and I guess you're right. I assumed that that's what they were shooting, but it was I saw him going in there. And what they done is that they rented this restaurant and then they covered all the windows with like packing blankets to make it dark outside. And what would be cool for like somebody like at our level is that if you could actually put on the packing blanket out there, go, want to know what's going on? Go to watchgeeks.com.
Oh, yeah. That
you know what I mean?
Great.
And then
that way
then they know what's going on in there exactly. And then you can kind of build up a following at the same time.
That's a good idea.
I have a few of them.
You got two
every once
so far.
In a while, and I would never have brought it up, but I thought that by the time we finish this hour-long episode, I would not remember to say something. But when this gets picked up, and then he goes and shoots another place.
Feel free to use that idea.
There you go.
Yeah. They do that now at Boston Legal. You probably know this, but they could have been shooting a daytime scene. In fact, if you drive down Hollywood Boulevard at like 2 a.m. on a Wednesday night, they'll be filming in restaurants and stuff inside, and they'll be blasting light in through the windows because then they can control the light the entire night long.
Right.
So they can. It looks like the middle of the day, but it looks like
and
the
it's
middle
always
of the
consistent,
day,
yeah.
consistent light.
And
the
they do the
time.
They do the same thing in sound stages and all that kind
absolutely,
of stuff too.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just weird to do it in a real place because you're like it seems yeah. like you're working against itself. And in Hollywood, I mean, the light's pretty consistent most of the day, except for you know cloudy days and 1 p.m. versus 4 p.m. So
sure,
it changes.
Sure.
It
so anyway,
Kevin, bring it down the arc of the sun.
Well, see, you see, the sun moves. Uh-huh. It creates different shadows.
The earth is flat.
heresy!
But I just realized I didn't answer your question from earlier. Yeah. What we're doing with our Kickstarter is we basically kind of divided it out and we looked at, you know, because Kickstarter, you give rewards, incentives for certain amounts that people donate. So we looked at what we were willing to give people or what we wanted to give people for contributing to the project and what we wanted to do with the project and combine everything together. And we came up with, we were like, okay, let's go with $70,000. That's what we're trying to raise to shoot 7 more episodes of this season. And we'll just put it out there and see what we can do. There's a little over 2 weeks left on the Kickstarter right now. And we're,
by the time this comes out, it'll be about a week left.
Be about a week left. Okay, so as of the time of this recording, we're just over 8,000. So, you know, it's one thing or the other. The Kickstarter is kind of our first phase of action, and that's because we were like, well, let's start with this and see where we get with that, and then we can move on.
Then you can know what to come
point.
Back for phase two.
Exactly. So... You know, if and when the Kickstarter is successful, which it ends on my birthday, so that's kind of cool.
Yay! Happy birthday! Yay. You get nothing.
You get nothing. Or you get $70,000.
Yay! Go to Bahamas.
I will give you 52.
All right.
That is all I'm willing to offer.
Dollars?
$52,000.
$52,000.
I don't know if that makes my math. That's my math is wrong. Yeah, $62,000. Yeah. Damn
62.
It! It's not fucking funny. Math is wrong.
I told you to get the abacus. I said, if you're going to buy this house, get an abacus.
I can't. Just
so many times I say, get the abacus.
I know.
You could be fine now.
You've got a sundial outside already.
Well,
do you know how that works? You see, the sun moves.
The earth is flat.
That's heresy.
Heresy.
Talk to us about Watch Geeks. What are the powers like? What are the people like? Don't give us any spoilers. But I think our listeners deserve a little spicy secret.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A little something on the inside.
Who are you?
Yeah.
A little spice. I don't know. This guy. A little spicy secret.
He's rubbing his fingers together.
It's tasty. I also had a weird thought.
It feels perverse.
How many people, because I wonder how many people, when they listen to the show, actually imagine Sly Cooper is sitting talking to
them.
No one's ever said it, but I wondered if I would.
Everybody knows that Kevin Miller is a cartoon fox, right? Or is he a wolf?
Raccoon.
Well,
raccoon.
We might need to delete this if you want any money from our listeners.
I'm just kidding.
Raccoon. It's a raccoon.
Everybody knows that Kevin Miller's a cartoon raccoon.
I'll pick it up from there.
Okay, that's it.
Whoops.
Give us some spicy secrets.
Spicy secrets about the geeks. Well, what we tried to do is kind of cover these. And there's a nice airplane for you.
I don't hear it. What are you I don't hear anything.
We tried to cover these different demographics of the geek kingdom, if you will. And so we have Jason's the main character. He's the RPG player.
Yeah.
He grew up on, you know, Zelda and Dungeons and Dragons and that sort of thing. And he's kind of the uber geek. His personality is like, you know, he obsesses and knows everything about everything, video games, comic books, 80s movies. And nice. So if you make a mistake, he'll call you out on it.
He's the fact checker.
Yes.
Got it.
And so once he starts developing his superpowers, he goes along the lines of kind of a Zelda. And we play off a couple different themes with him, you know, the sword that he raises his hand and it magically appears in his hand and a bolt of lightning and that sort of thing. And And it's all kind of run through this kind of Avengers, Batman, superhero type of idea. Then there's the character of Rhett. He's the guy that's drinking the Balls energy soda throughout the whole episode.
Is that a real thing?
It is a real thing.
Nice.
We contacted Balls Guarana energy soda and said, hey, we're shooting a pilot. We'd like to have your drink in the show. Can we do it? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
That's great. Normally we have to pay for that.
Yeah. And that actually comes from when I was still living in Kansas. That's where I'm from.
Heard of it.
It's back there somewhere. I was living with a couple other guys, and they would do nothing but play World of Warcraft and drink Balls Guarana energy soda,
nice,
like all night long.
Oof. And sounds like the life.
Yeah.
That actually sounded relaxing to me.
And then
that sounds so nice right now, to just stay up all night long playing role-playing games. Parenthood.
So, yeah. Enjoying that kid yet?
Yeah, he's a wonderful thing.
I'm sure he is. He's adorable, too.
Yeah. Would you call him? Well, it's rude now that I said it, because it was funny. Kevin had a side conversation with someone when I was on the phone with you later, laughing about the stupid voicemail I left you. And he's like, yeah, no, I'll take that. I go, I have a kid. They're a curse.
Yeah, he was asking me to lunch. He's like, we're going to lunch for Taco Tuesday. I was like, I brought a lunch. He walks away. I was like, I'm poor. You don't understand. I have children. They're a curse.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
He didn't care.
That was great. Nice. Rhett is the first-person shooter gamer, and it's kind of funny because he's kind of this aloof, kind of doofy guy in the show. He's surgical with a sniper rifle.
Ooh.
You know, in-game.
I'd like to be that guy.
Yeah. But he...
Oh, I get it. That's good. Surgical with a sniper. I didn't understand.
You didn't understand what it meant?
Now I got it, though.
He could, he could get a headshot on a guy easy.
Oh, I thought he could, like, take out your heart.
That, too.
Oh, that, too.
That's impressive.
It's very
this is very deep. It's on a lot of levels.
A lot of levels. What happens is when in this backstory where they get struck by lightning, what it ends up doing is kind of enhancing their skill set into superhero levels.
Can you tell us what that means?
Rhett kind of becomes this super.
Which
kind
one
of,
are you? You're Jason.
I'm Oz.
You're
I'm
Oz.
Oz. Rhett's the kid who's slurping the energy soda the whole time. So.
And did you go through Oz? You didn't mention Oz.
I haven't gone through Oz yet.
Got it. Okay.
No. So anyway, that enhances him so he can become this kind of super soldier type of thing.
Ah, cool.
And then there's Oz, my character. He's the sports gamer. He plays Madden and NBA and MLB and all that kind of stuff, and doesn't have time for Zelda or any of those games. And Oz and Rhett kind of have a fun relationship because Oz is kind of this. He considers himself this ladies' man in the world of these underground video game tournaments. The underground video game tournaments are fun, too, because we kind of based this whole idea off of, like, you remember, like, in Beer Fest when they first go to Beer Fest, and it's just, like, this crazy underground tournament? It's, like, that a combination of that and, like, the races from Fast and Furious and all this kind of stuff, you know? It's just this over-the-top type of thing. So this is where these guys hang out, and Oz is kind of this ladies' man, Rhett he's kind of taken Rhett under his wing and been like, I will show you the ways of how to pick up women. And of course Rhett becomes this kind of hyper athlete when he's, you know, his superpower is kind of like a Captain America style, super strength, super speed, super throwing balls at people's faces.
Super.
And yeah. And then Lucy is the stoner gamer. And you saw her smoking a red mushroom shaped pipe in the, I don't know if you noticed that, it was the red mushroom
I
with the white
spots
on it.
I could see it was something. That's great.
And so she's the racing gamer. She plays Mario Kart or any game that's racing. We have a great face-off later in the season between her and another gamer that involves Wave Race. If you remember that game, Wave Race 64.
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, it was a jet ski game for the Nintendo 64. It was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Polygons galore.
Yeah. And then we'll introduce a fifth character in episode 2, which is Vicky, who is the sexy cosplay girl. Definitely had to hit up that demographic.
That's great.
And she's a great character because she's like this brilliant, smart character. But
you
she
didn't
also...
put her in your pilot?
I know.
You always put the sexy cosplay girl in your pilot.
Well, we actually had three different... the pilot was originally going to be three different scenes, and we just didn't have enough money or time to produce three different. So she was actually in the original pilot, but didn't make it into the final cut because we only had so much time and so much money to do it, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate.
And then in the show, you saw Greg come in with his team, and we call them the Doppelgamers. As you recall, in any good classic video game or anime TV show, the bad guys were basically just the exact same character as the good guys, except different colors.
Yeah.
And so we had Greg is obviously Jason's doppelgamer. You had Brett, who was kind of the guy who got his hoodie stuck over his head. That is Rhett's doppelgamer. Mm-hmm. And then you had Toto, who is Oz's doppelgamer. Toto is the hilariously jacked guy, where we say, didn't he used to be an American Gladiator?
Yeah.
Which is actually true. Evan Dollard, the actor that plays him, used to be an American Gladiator.
Nice!
And he was like a 3-time American Ninja Warrior contestant.
Wow.
And he hosts a show for G4, which is now switching to Esquire, I guess. But he hosts an American Ninja Warrior, like, kind of training web reality show for them now. He's a good friend of mine, too. He's hilarious. And then in this episode, you actually saw Vicky's doppelgamer, Nikki.
Ah, not the...
Not the stoner doppelgamer. Right. Nikki was the Asian. Well, we did have one of the sexy cosplayers. She was dressed as a character from Final Fantasy. And then we also did not have Lucy's doppelgamer, the stoner doppelgamer. Because that is a character named Fat Stacy, and that character is going to be me in a fat suit,
nice,
portraying a female. So
double cast.
Well, double cast. Well, you can do that when you're the writer and producer.
You're like, I'm so good. I'm in here twice.
What actually happened was we were talking about casting, and we were like, guys, we can't put out a casting call for a morbidly obese actress to come in, and because there's all kinds of jokes about how fat she is.
Yeah, the right woman would be into it.
Yeah.
I mean, what's her face on Super Fun Night airs this month. What's that actress's name?
The Australian chick?
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
Rebel Wilson?
Yes. Yeah. Well done.
Wow.
She would have done it.
Yeah. If we could have gotten her, we would have taken her.
That's right.
But we were actually reading through the scripts one day when we were reading through season one, and I was doing the voice, and I did this kind of like, hey, I'm Fat Stacy, and they're like, maybe you should just be her. I was like, all right.
So, and will you keep your beard?
We were actually talking about Fat Stacy having some stubble.
Nice.
So
that's good.
We'll see.
Poor Fat Stacy.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of great characters in it. You saw the game store clerk who was standing at the back there. Oh. That's MC 8-Bit. He is the master of ceremonies of these underground gaming tournaments, and he kind of turns into this hilarious... He's like a combination between a hip-hop hype man and Michael Buffer. Hmm. He's like the announcer, and he's also like...
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep. So he's kind of this nerdy guy in the game shop, and then once he goes back into these tournaments, he becomes like the man, you know?
Nice.
And
so do these characters fight each other? Is it when you say, like, you have a person that becomes a soldier, you have stuff with them shooting zombies, or is it all, it's all dialogue and hilarious conversations, or a mix of the two?
It's a mix of the two. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be, you know, we were inspired by shows like, I'd say two of the biggest and hottest shows out there right now online are The Guild and Video Game High School.
Oh, I've never seen Video Game High School.
It's actually really good. Like, I watched the first episode, I was like, what is this? And then I started watching a little bit more, and I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. And that's very heavy action-oriented, and The Guild is very heavy dialogue and relationship-oriented. And we said, you know, we want to kind of put something in the middle, and we kind of want to go for something a little bit more along the lines of, like, a 30 Rock type of feel as far as our comedy goes. And then we wanted to throw some action in there, but make it more ridiculous. And the whole idea is to kind of paint these characters like kind of we as geeks see ourselves in our own mind's eye. You know, we kind of all see ourselves as superheroes. in our own mind's eye. That's why we do things like dress up as our favorite characters when we go to Comic-Con or something like that.
That's true. I did when I went to Comic-Con this year.
Oh, really?
I was multiple man.
Oh, yeah.
Just a t-shirt.
Did you just wear the t-shirt?
That's just all you got to wear. I was in full-on costume. No one took a single picture with me.
Nice.
It's unfair.
So the second episode, we go into this video game tournament, and Greg faces off against Jason, and something goes horribly wrong.
Oh, no.
Greg begins to beat Jason. And I don't want to give too many spoilers away. So
that's good. That's enough spicy secrets.
Yeah. But we do one more little spicy secret as I rub my fingers together. We saw the shadowy figure in the kind of the end of the episode there. I don't know if you caught it, but there is a shadowy figure who comes into play a little bit later in the first season, and it turns out he may be in control of everything.
Oh no, he's Mr. Lightning Bolt.
I don't know.
I love the idea of breaking down the archetypes of gamer people. So right. I'd like to, Justin and I are going to throw out titles to you, and you're going to tell us which of your five gamers would know the most about that title.
Okay.
Okay. My first one is Mutant League Football.
Whoa!
Mutant League Football.
I would probably throw that Oz's way.
Yeah, Oz is which
he's
which
the sport gamer.
Sport, yeah. Even gamer. Though it's fantasy driven.
It is fantasy
driven. Imagination involved and.
But anything having to do like Oz's character, Oz as a character, if he heard the word football, he'd be into
he's
it.
He's into it. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Because here, I think that, again, I know I'm way overthinking this, but that would
use the abacus. Oh, that's right. You don't have one. I told you to get it, but no.
I said I was sorry. And I've said it for the last time.
I'm getting you an abacus for your birthday.
Good luck. It's 8 months away.
Mine's this month.
What?
Can abacus. I have an abacus?
$62,000. All he's asking.
Yeah. How do you know? How do you know how much you're going to give him?
Because I figured it out without an abacus. Second go round.
Abacus.
Abacus.
Isn't he the Luke Skywalker's father?
Atticus Finch?
Abacus Finch.
Yeah,
Abacus Anakin Finch Skywalker. Oh, Anakin Finch.
You were overthinking.
I was but that the idea that it's funny because I really like the Oz character with he not knowing what, you know, he knows that Double Dribble is but not Zelda. I played Mutant League Football and loved it, but again, I never played Zelda. Mm-hmm. I didn't really play Mario Brothers, any of that stuff. So I don't know why I feel like I can provide credibility. I feel like, oh, this is based on me. That's what I'm trying to
probably
say.
And that's the idea. We want people to be like, I'm that character. Yes. That's who I am, or that's who I relate to the most.
Yeah. That's great.
And hopefully we've been able to do that with all the characters in it. But yeah.
That's good. Do you have
my game is Star Fox.
That's a good one.
Oh, I would say that's probably going to be Jason is going to know the most about Star Fox.
All right.
It's kind of a classic
that's the
title.
First-person shooter.
Yeah.
Guy?
Well, no,
that's Rhett.
Rhett's the first-person shooter. Jason would know because Star Fox is more of like a classic title, and he would, you know, he would be the one to go to about that.
Yeah.
All right, Dawn of War 2.
What the hell?
Based on the 40K series, which is. Like a RTS top-down Marines versus Orcs.
At this point, you're just
shooting
words.
No. It's a real game. Tabletop painting things. It's a video game based on the tabletop.
It's
a fantastic game.
I might have to throw that Jason's way as well.
Because
of the role-playing tabletop style. I used to play a lot of Civ.
Oh,
Sid Meier's Civilization.
Yeah.
I sat down one Thanksgiving in college. I spent the entire Thanksgiving playing one game of Civ 3.
That's good.
That was sad.
Did you not go home?
No, I did. I sat in the basement.
Turkey dinner.
It was like freshman year of college, and I just sat in the basement playing that the whole time, and then went up for turkey.
And then came back down.
More Civ.
That's interesting to me that your folks would just be like, he's down in the basement playing some game during the... Like, did you live at home when you went to college?
No, but
so
I...
So this
I,
is like the 1 week you've been at home, your freshman year.
Well, I went to college like a half hour away from home, so
okay.
I was close
that
enough.
That was my... Yeah,
I was close enough.
They're like, he's studying.
There's a... Yeah.
I'm studying history.
Where Lincoln fought the Mongols.
Where Lincoln and...
That's what that game's all about,
Lincoln
right?
and Ramses yeah. are fighting each other right now.
Somewhere in Brazil.
On Archipelago. Archipelago. <That's>... I gotta build more ships.
Who would be into Civ 5 or Civ 4 in
Jason.
Your... Jason.
Jason.
How about the sim game The Movies?
Ooh, the movies. Oh, I might throw that one. Let's say that I'd throw that one to Rhett. He has a secret side that he doesn't want anybody to know.
Oh,
about,
nice. Yeah.
Which is sim games.
Nice.
I just made that up right now.
That's good.
We're putting that in the script.
Add it into the continuity. He plays Sims and Spore and all those.
That's going into the
sim train set.
That's going into the Geek's Bible tonight.
There you go. Nice. You heard it here first, folks. Spicy
exclusives.
Oh, well, you've given away too many spicy secrets.
Keep all of yours.
These poor listeners need milk for their ears. So spicy.
Oh, I did forget to mention that in about the third episode of the season, we introduce Oz and Rhett are kind of like the 12-year-olds of the group.
Nice.
And they have these superhero personas that they've already previously invented before learning they had superpowers, called Ozman and the Crimson R. And they're just going to show up wearing these just horribly, horribly homemade costumes.
Oh, I love it.
When they're trying to solve a mystery, basically. Part of the plot line of the season is they're kind of doing this Batman detective mystery solving type of story arc, while at the same time discovering they have superpowers,
so. Just like Batman.
Yeah, that was my. I want. Is it in the vein of a comic book where they have obviously a nemesis and
yeah.
all that stuff, or like because that what you just said made me think of, or is it like Scooby Doo and they're going to travel around in some minivan-esque mystery machine?
We've borrowed.
Was it a minivan? They had just a straight up van.
Yeah, but today I'm modernizing.
Oh
it.
Yeah,
I know what he's doing.
I love that you modernized them into a minivan. But the Scooby and the gang wouldn't go into something else like. I guess a minivan.
Yeah.
Maybe, thank you.
Probably a Humvee. Wouldn't they get into a Hummer or something? Like, or you got to put that big old dame hound.
There are a bunch of kids who go around solving pro bono mysteries. You think they can afford the gas and the cost of a Hummer?
That's true. And they got to put that Saint Bernard. What is Scooby?
He's a great Dane.
Great Dane.
But aren't they?
And they smoke weed with him.
Yeah. They like Scoob. He's talking the whole time.
That dog's talking to us. The other guys are like, what did you just say?
But you were saying.
So I'm saying, like, will they go around and solve mysteries in the town as well? Or
yeah, kind of. We've borrowed from so many tropes and that sort of thing to create this series. But the first season is really one single storyline that kind of establishes their characters and sets them up for what we want to start in season two is basically kind of laying it out as. Aside from like the fact that season one's going to be more of a single storyline, once we advance on from that, hopefully, it'll turn into a little bit more like a Saturday morning cartoon for adults, where you have single episodes where we're going to establish these different villains that they're going to end up fighting and that sort of thing. So the first season is kind of a season of discovery after what happens in episode two at the video game tournament. They end up having to kind of figure out and track down these different people, and that's how we introduce different characters throughout the season as they solve this kind of video game crime.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the achievements that you unlock while watching the video. That's pretty great.
That's
a good premise.
When he says that there is something, if you're the person who loves to play video games, loves comic books, or would be the kind of person who, no matter what, would have a good time going to Comic-Con, like even me, like I would consider myself, I don't know all of the references. I don't know everything, you know, about everything. But when I go to Comic-Con, I like it. I like everything I see. Very rarely do I look and go, eh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not that person. And so there is something in there for everyone. That's what the thing that I'm interested in, because I think it also draws from a real source, is the underground video game tournaments.
Right.
Are those in any way real?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Are you being for reals?
The reason I asked is because while doing a week at the Omaha Funny Bone, one of the comics, her husband... took his oldest son to a LAN party type thing,
right.
And they have this ginormous warehouse, And people come, and that's why it's funny that you talk about, like, the Fast and the Furious references, because one of the things that I thought was most interesting was watching all these nerds descend upon this vacant warehouse, and it's just lined with picnic tables.
Yeah.
And then they come with their computer towers that have, like, neon lights and tricked out with water coolers. And
yeah.
it's in the same vein of, the, you know, you walk in, you see the race, you know, and all the cars are, and everybody's got their hoods popped, and, like, look at what I got, you know? And everybody's playing game, and it's funny to me, because as a break in the action, they have a dodgeball tournament, which I thoroughly loved. I loved every
around
ounce
their
of
computers?
It. No.
Oh, okay.
No, they had a net.
Don't knock over the computer.
Yes. Why?
They had a net set up in the back, and then they did it. And it was great because
it gets everybody off their feet and gets them off.
Yeah, but it was just fun. Like, I've never been someone who made fun of nerds in any way, shape, or form, but it's just funny to me because it was a way of... I like playing dodgeball, right? And I was somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? Or maybe I didn't have the right perception that I wasn't good enough to like be an athlete or a quote unquote jock. But I also could dodge a dodgeball. Like I didn't get the crap kicked out of me, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, but to
watch, I could dodge a dodgeball.
I'll just say it.
It's
on my resume.
Whatever.
Humble brag.
You got to be real. You got to be real.
Probably the most sad humble brag ever. I could dodge a dodgeball. But my point is that watching these guys, it's like, if you were the person who just got creamed at dodgeball, then dodgeball was never fun.
Yeah.
However, when you go to a LAN party and everybody is the person who got creamed at dodgeball, it evens the playing field, and it's a ton of fun. And what was great, too, is that it looks like a beer fest situation where there are these unintentional Asian teams. just five Asian triad dudes that just descend, but they're nerdy, but they take dodgeball super serious. But, like, one guy was playing with, like, a members-only jacket on.
Yes.
And he's like, I think he was wearing flip-flops, and I'm not kidding. He did a Jackie Chan-esque backflip. Like, he's a guy that you would not look at and go, here's a guy who knows him some kung fu.
Right.
Like, that's not what you would look at when you saw this guy. And it's like, and he just stood there, like, perfectly still, and he went Steven Seagal on the ass of all these kids playing dodgeball. It was an incredible spectacle to be seen. And so, like, that to me is the closest thing I know of to be a underground gaming tournament. So I don't know if that's what
strangely
it's based
enough,
on.
Dodgeball incorporated to episode 2 of Watching.
Check this out. No. What we're kind of doing is we're taking that concept and we're kind of lampooning off of it a little bit more. We're making these a little bit more outrageous, if you can believe it. So it's kind of like a WWE, I guess it is now. I almost said WWF, but that doesn't exist anymore.
Sue you. That's the wildlife refuge.
You know, I used to watch WCW.
Yeah.
Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack.
If that's why? You don't turn your back on
I don't turn my back on the Wolfpack.
Okay. Yeah,
but it's kind of like a combination between a WWE event and a nightclub, and you know, you've got a bar, you've got sexy cosplay girls, you've got, you know, little people, you've got
kids who climb
on rocks.
Why does this sound like a Caribbean cruise now?
I just want a hot dog the whole time.
But it's dark and there's flashing lights and there's a ring in the center and a giant, you know, larger than life screen looming over all where they play the game Battleground Adventure, which is a game we made up for the show.
Yeah.
And the backstory behind that is that this guy named Neil P. Neal, who we got the amazing Ben Begley to play, he is in every commercial you've ever seen in your life, and he also has a recurring role on Franklin and Bash. But he's hilarious. He's a super nerdy guy. He loves the show, which is good for us. And he is the Neil P. Neal is the inventor of the game Battleground Adventure, which he kind of just invented for himself in his basement. And then it's basically kind of an adventure game where you build a character and he goes through this world and he fights against the main boss or villain of the game is this generic trope called the General. And he has an army of agents that are like Agent Smith types. And he's trying to take over the world, and you as your custom-made character have to go through all these levels and eventually end up fighting him and defeating him. But he also invented this battle mode, this arena mode, where you can take your custom character and pit it against another custom character.
Ah, cool, yeah.
And that's what these huge underground gaming tournaments in the world of geeks have become. And so that's what Greg challenges Jason to, is a match in Battleground Adventure. And this kind of revolves around XP, or experience points.
Oh, that, gosh, I was like, Windows?
Yeah, Windows XP.
That is an antiquated platform, sir.
Yeah, yeah. But
stop giving him notes on his show.
Dang, that makes more sense.
It's all based around Windows XP. It was based around Windows 95, but we...
I think you had me for a while.
Windows me.
Yeah, you're like, that's dumb.
Windows 7. But... basically, what we find out in the second episode is XP is where these gamers get their powers. The more XP, and they gain and lose XP depending on how well they do in this game. Or any game, for that matter. It's started to expand at this point. Because we start this episode is 1 month after the lightning strike.
That's right.
And so their powers grow or dissipate depending on how much XP they gain or lose. And that's kind of the basis of the second episode, kind of goes into that and explains that. So everybody calls Neil Dr. Neil because they think he's this brilliant doctor who invented the game. And part of the running gag throughout the series is that he's always like, I'm not a doctor.
Now, the footage for the game, where are you getting that if it's a made-up game? And where are you getting those screenshots?
We have there are different things that we're doing for that. We have an amazing graphic effects guy named Brian Barr who did basically all of our visual effects in the
show.
Yeah,
that is incredible.
Thank you. Actually, the cartoons, when we all turn into anime in the middle of the episode, that was those were drawn by Chris Copeland, who is an artist at Disney Marvel, or he was an artist at Disney Marvel. I think he's doing freelance right now, and then he's moving on to more projects in the future. But
he's huge on DeviantArt.
He's huge on DeviantArt.
We should have him on.
Yeah, you should. In fact, I'm having lunch with him tomorrow, talking about geeks and DeviantArt.
There it is. Bam. He got you into Comic-Con.
He did?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
You should thank him.
Nah, that's not my style.
Oh, okay.
I exploit people.
And, walk over.
Way to go. You're welcome.
He is my rug to pop culture celebrations. But yeah, Chris drew those, and then we basically gave everything to Brian, and Brian did the coloring and the animation, and he did the comic book cells. In fact, they're in the scene where we're walking into the door in the back, there, when the door opens, that's completely a CG shot.
Wow.
Cool.
And then when we were walking into the back, there was no smoke and lights coming out of the door, and he added that in post.
Wow.
He just did incredible work.
Well, we should listen to the intro, because I think the voice actor that you got for the opening of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We got some guy.
Productions.
Oh, that's our production company. That was the end.
Did it.
Well, that was great.
Yeah, that was
it. It was an underground gaming tournament like any other.
Sexy.
Then, the gamers were imbued with special powers. Really nerdy powers. Four of these gamers would become heroes to the rest.
Fancy.
The Geeks.
Now we know.
The amazing The Kevin Miller.
How did
Miller.
You get Sly Cooper to do the intro to your pilot?
I left my garbage cans open at night. And then there was this raccoon there. This cartoon raccoon. And I took a potato sack and I just got him.
And then I was like, hey, Ben, I'll record some lines for you if you give me that cartoon raccoon.
Yeah. And so Kevin came over and he said, hey, that's a great cartoon raccoon you got there.
Kevin bronzed him and then made two of them and put them on his desk.
That's right.
And then he did the voiceover for the opening of the...
I'm going to give one of them away someday.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I really wish our fans were... I don't really wish it, but in my head, the comedy of it would be that how funny would it be if our fans were really rage-filled? And so the fact that you lured him in with trash, and that, like, to them, that's an insult to the character.
Yeah.
And they go nuts.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think they were.
No, they were. I don't think so.
But they weren't nuts. They were just like, that's not what Sly does.
You can't be a nerd and not have that at least happen.
Here's the thing. I was doing those unidirectional video chats, my little video blog, for a while. And so somebody asked a question about something. And in it, I was talking about adopting the kid or something. And so I said what I meant to say was that Sly was an orphan. But instead, I said Sly was adopted, because I'm trying to answer a question in the middle of this thing. I just wasn't thinking. I used the word improperly. I got flamed on my own video wall of all these nerds saying, you should know your kid – your your character better. He was an orphan, never adopted. Are you trying to tell us there's some part of the backstory we don't know? You're an idiot.
No better way to get access to your favorite character, by the way.
I know.
No better way.
Glad I made these video chats
than to
for
get
you.
Abrasive.
Yeah, and be a, like, yeah, you know.
Many a person.
You know more about Sly Cooper than I do.
Has been known to cuddle with steel wool. Many a person.
Well, it's the blessing and the curse of being part of the nerd community, which I am a part of.
Yeah. And we all are.
But what have you raged on?
Oh, man. Well, actually, we touch on it in the episode. We have this, we keep bringing up this little running gag throughout the season where Oz and Jason have this argument between Voltron versus Power Rangers. And basically, in a nutshell, Jason, like, Oz's argument is like, the Power Rangers are awesome. Yeah. And Jason's argument is the Power Rangers are a ripoff of Voltron. And that's kind of the argument that keeps getting brought up.
I agree with Jason.
Personally, I mean, I did not grow up watching Voltron. I grew up watching Power Rangers.
Oh,
Voltron was available.
Poor thing.
I come from a different time.
I literally, I was in the eighth grade when that show first came out, so I was definitely out of the pocket of caring that that existed
for Power Rangers.
For Power Rangers,
yeah.
No, for Voltron, because I'm like 70.
That's what I thought. Are you 70 years old? That's the right math. Did you do it on your abacus?
Yes, because I have one. Thanks for noticing, Ben. I tried to bring abacus eye for everybody, but not everybody wants an abacus.
I would apologize, but I've already said I did it for the last time.
Yeah, but it wasn't sincere. Best part is, just so you know, this is not a running gag.
Never been said.
Never been come up before.
Most of our running gags are only 45 minutes long.
We're like, we're going to do this forever. And then we forget. I remember being in class, and my good friend leans in. We were talking about Power Rangers for some reason. And I felt like it was a moment of transitioning into adulthood because he made such a funny reference in a way that I was like, yeah, we're old now. We're the next generation. He said, man, those Power Rangers, I can see the Voltron sticker that they scratched off on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, children. We were like 13.
Well, I remember last year at Comic-Con, they had that like 40-foot tall Red Ranger in the building.
Oh,
because it was the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers. It came out in, I think, 1992.
The 40th anniversary?
The 20th.
Oh, okay.
The
20th. I was like,
it was a 40-foot tall Power Ranger. 40-foot tall Power Ranger.
The 20th human
anniversary.
or the
human. The red Ranger. Jason the Red Ranger, the
guy.
Human.
In costume. With the helmet, with the bicycle helmet on.
Yes, with the
face bicycle. Of somehow.
No.
Madame Trousseau's.
He's attacking.
Yeah, he wasn't a giant wax figure.
Yeah. I'm just a guy.
And I had to think about it because I would have been 7 going on 8 when that
Barbara
when
knows
that came
the Blue
out.
Ranger. This is a conversation that happened off air for the listener.
Nice.
Ben also does stand-up at the club here in Burbank that's owned by my former manager, and she is good friends with the original Blue Ranger.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, we ran into him at the Burbank airport, and I recognized him, but she was talking to him and everything. She goes, I don't know if you know, he's the Blue Ranger. I was like, yeah, I did.
Nice.
In case you are a big power, because that's what I want to know. I want to know, what have you ever, like, really, honestly had nerd rage about?
I don't know if I've ever really raged out. I think I've raged out about Star Wars a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you concerned with the purchase of Star Wars when Disney bought it?
No, I was actually very excited about it. But, you know, well, now there's a whole thing with J.J. Abrams that they're not sure if he's going to do it or not. But
what?
Anyway.
What?
Did you not hear about this?
No.
Because he might end up just still doing Star Trek or something.
That would be better.
I don't know.
I'm okay with that.
But I'm not.
J.J. Abrams is great, but I think we've seen what he would do if he did Star Wars.
I know, but I like it.
I want to see something different.
I also like the idea of the guy being in charge of like two of
star
the major
properties.
Yeah, star well,
he,
properties.
He can do StarCraft, the movie.
For two different companies.
I got two words for you that are going to blow this whole conversation out of the water. Michael Bay. I mean, come on. You can't get any better.
Six Death Stars blow up in every movie.
It's just constant lens flares and then no plot.
Yeah.
Oh,
the force is actually the result of mutagen.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I'm going to do things different. So in this Star Wars movie, there are no Jedi and no stars.
But we do have lightsabers.
We do have.
And Darth Vader's back, y'all.
I will tell you what I did rage out about recently was when they came out. Was it Michael Bay who was going to do the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
Yes, he is doing it. The movie, yeah.
But then they were like, oh, they're not turtles anymore.
Yes,
they're aliens.
Yes.
And I went ape shit.
Yeah. So did like, you and every other person ever, even people that don't even know what the Ninja Turtles are like, why?
That's interesting, because I guess that's the closest I came. But it's like the most I could nerd rage about something was what my reaction to this was just...
that was which is why I bring him up, because it's like, really, dude? I mean, his whole point for doing Transformers, because you watch the original show or play any of the games or read in the comic books, and it's a really detailed universe. Mm-hmm. It's really thought out, but it's super accessible. It's not hard to understand. It's not super anime and, and hard. It's just a clever, simple idea. And he was like, no.
Here's what we're going to do. Else. I want to give you a stroke while you try and figure out who's fighting who. That's step one.
Well, and the thing about it is it's like, okay, we're just going to turn everything into aliens now.
Yeah.
Like, everything's already aliens. Give us our turtles that were exposed to mutagen and became, you know, bipedal ninjas. Give us that, because that's at least unique to the alien idea.
And then we get to say the word bipedal.
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
Sweet.
And in a world where I feel like the new way of making these nerd movies is for people who really enjoyed them as a kid, like, how does it make sense for you to be that? Like, one of the things that I thought, and I don't, because again, I'm not the expert that I should be when having a podcast, but one of the things
that's
that
why you have a podcast.
That's true. Not a radio show.
Yeah, see, that wasn't even a drop. Yeah, you get a podcast. Can't even bother to make a sound effect bed.
I got a Foley producer in my cheek.
That was funny. But my point.
Well, we
don't even have a drop.
That's funny. My point was, I can't stop laughing.
Tom DeLuise. It's over. Well, on behalf of
Bert, start chewing some bubble gum. We make such great references for our 12-year-old audience.
Yay.
But now I lost my fucking point.
Michael Bay, mutagen.
Nerd raging movies for people who like them as kids.
Thank you. When I one of the things, because I watched Iron Man with my son, that was kind of the first movie that he really was like
number one.
Yes, and so he's watching it, and then it got to the point where you see a movie so many times with your kid that you're like, you know what, I'm going to watch the special features. Something different that maybe I can at least see something new. And one of the things I thought was really interesting is that when Jon Favreau was talking about how he goes, what I've learned from watching the reaction to other superhero movies is that this is something that is very important to the people that love it. He goes, so you have to find a way of honoring that and making it accessible to a new audience.
Yeah.
He said, but in order to do that well, he goes, I think you really have to focus on honoring what was already there so as not to upset anyone. And that's a humongous responsibility. And when he said that, I was like, you're no kidding. Wow, that's...
because you see where it wasn't obeyed is in the Spider-Man franchise, the first one with Tobey Maguire, where the spider stuff was something...
Just came out of his hand.
Yeah, supposed to him developing
just it. Just ejaculated from his wrist.
Right, because that's normal. that's okay. But where people backlashed unnecessarily was the Wonder Woman TV show that wasn't realized. Nerd rage for days, if you printed out all the blogs on Nerd Rage about her uniform, you could fill up all of the 405 from end to end.
Yeah.
Of how it's not okay that she was wearing jeans. Like, we're really going to be upset that much that Wonder Woman's wearing jeans instead of whatever she normally wears?
I want to see some quads.
Yeah. Her costume's gone through about four different changes since the 30s.
Exactly.
Anyway,
what difference does it make? But people, and so I think that's why that show.
Somebody will catch me on when Wonder Woman was introduced. I said the 30s, and somebody will be like, no.
That's a good question. I thought you were right on.
That's something that Jason Jason, the character from Geeks, would call
he
out.
He would lambast you.
You know, speaking of Iron Man, I actually. Just remembered, I wanted to mention that...
I'm Iron Man.
I am Iron Man. I am the Iron Man.
Just a heads up, guys.
I am the Iron Man. Vicky, the sexy cosplay character that's introduced in the second episode, the actress that plays her, Crystal Ellsworth, was one of the Ironettes in Iron Man 2.
So you have a legitimate cosplay girl.
We've got some legit nerd, you know.
What does she dress up as in episode 2?
I believe we have her as Sailor Moon.
So good
nice.
Choice.
Nice
good
choice. Yeah,
December good. 1941.
Ooh, I was
All-Star
close.
All-Star Comics number 8.
I was close.
That's when Wonder Woman first showed up. Tell us in...
Need
in
a calendar abacus.
In Watch Geeks, where would Batman be?
Where would Batman be?
Yeah.
This is a running gag.
Batman hides everywhere. Yeah. He's in this room. You just have to know where he is.
Yeah.
Where would Batman... He is actually in this room.
Oh, there you go. There he is.
We have fan art.
This piece of fan art playing football.
Nice.
So where would Batman be in the pilot episode of Watch Geeks?
He would be... You know how in Arkham Asylum or Arkham City, when you can hang upside down from a gargoyle and just chill there? That's where Batman is. He's hanging from the ceiling in the corner, watching us, waiting to drop down and pounce on any villains.
Beastmaster style.
And then keep them there, hanging upside down until they pass out.
Yeah.
They're just sleeping.
And
Dr. Fisher.
That's where Batman is in the Geeks episode.
I'll look for him. Nice. I'll look for him there. Yep. Do you have to worry about licensings or any of those other things, pulling the references and characters? And
as long as we're talking about them, we should be fine. It's if we show any logos or anything, and that's if you look at the episode, you notice like the logo on all of our shirts, those are custom designed. I designed all of those.
They're close but not exactly.
So on Jason's shirt, there's a shield with like a sword with wings on it.
Got
and that's
it.
Just super generic, but it's green and it's supposed to kind of be like a Zelda theme type
Got it.
Thing. If you look at Oz's shirt, you can kind of see it. I'm wearing a vest in the episode, but it's basically the ESPN font, but it just says I pwn you, and it has two football helmets crashing into each other.
I suggest you sell those T-shirts.
I was going to say, I would like that T-shirt.
Well, yeah, that's gonna be in our merch once we get everything up and going.
Is that a prize if I donate to your Kickstarter? Can I get one of those shirts?
We actually had exclusive Geeks shirts that we wore to Comic-Con when we were promoting the show. So that is one of them. One of the incentive rewards or awards. Rewards.
Yeah, achievements.
Achievements. And then we also have Geeks-themed hoodies. But we can actually, you know, we still have time. We can put more
get it up
more
there.
Stuff up there so we can do, you know, the number 23 hat. That was, you know, obviously Michael Jordan-themed, but has nothing to do with actual Jordan the brand or anything like that.
Can't copyright a number.
Can't copyright a number.
Suck on that, Jordan.
And then Greg's shirt was just like kind of dark, deep red with like a funny skull and crossbones on it, just to kind of be like, he's the bad guy. But
it's pretty great.
All right. Well,
best of luck out there, Ben.
Thank you very much.
So where can people... Obviously, they could go to watchgeeks.com.
You can go to watchgeeks.com, WATCHGEEX.com. You can also check out...
And there's links there to the Kickstarter.
There are links there to the Kickstarter.
Can you throw out some other, like, what are some perks that people can, and the dollar amounts?
Oh, there's $5, you get your name on the website on our special thank you section. Moving up from there, and I actually have to look at the list, but moving up from there, why don't you pull it up? Just click on.
What's the top? What's the most you will accept from one person?
The most,
dude, you're almost at $9,000.
Yeah, the most that Kickstarter will allow you is $10,000 from one person. So $10,000 is you get basically all the perks leading up to that point, plus you get an executive producer credit, or a special producer credit on the show.
And
you get everything.
Bowl of Lucky Charms?
Yes, a delicious bowl of... Do you remember Cookie Crisp?
Hell yeah. Which one, Gen 1 or Gen 2?
Gen 1.
Yeah, when he was like a real burglar.
Yeah.
Gen 2, they all nerfed him, and he was like, hey, what's going on, guys? Gen 1, he was like, he gave me nightmares.
Yeah. We have a good joke about nerfing one of the gamers in the series too. We basically cover everything. All of Nerd Language is in it.
I can't wait.
$20 or more, you get Geeks Season 1 digital download, and your name on the special thank you section. That was specifically made for international backers because we actually had some international people mail in because we. International shipping is B. So,
by the way, I'm not mad, but I learned that, Brooke. So when you get your picture,
I should have done it.
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'll write you another $100.
I don't really care. It's rude that I brought it up. Anyway,
so moving up from that point until you start having other physical items to go out, there's no charge for the digital download, obviously. Mm-hmm. Once you start moving into the other categories that there are other physical items, the hoodie, the T-shirt, stuff like that, we actually will send that out on a custom or a special edition Geeks-themed thumb drive, which with the full first season. And then when I think when you move up another category from that, you get the full first season with blooper reel, behind the scenes footage, extra stuff like that. $100, you tack on the hoodie to that.
Yep.
$250. What do we got there? Oh, you get a special
Comic Con gear.
Yeah, you get the special Geeks Comic Con special edition
T-shirt emblazed with the Geek logo, and Comic Con Geek wristbands.
And the wristbands, which we're wearing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
Powers unite.
Boom.
All powers combined.
We actually did it.
for realsies.
Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom.
So now, how does this... So this is the part where I don't, maybe all of our listeners are aware, but so... So, like, is the only way that you'll get the hoodie is if you hit your mark?
That's
and
if
is
we
that also
mark.
The only way that they have to pay their money?
Exactly. That's okay, how Kickstarter right. works. There are a couple different websites that do similar things, but Kickstarter works like this. Basically, we set a goal, and we say, this is how much money we need to make this project. And then you basically come in and pledge a certain amount. And you can choose to receive the reward for the amount that you pledged or not. You can just say, hey, I just want to throw money at you, and don't mm-hmm. worry about it. And no, it works through Amazon.com with your credit card connection with that. And
super
so
easy.
It's super, super easy. And so if you, it basically just confirms that you have agreed to make this amount of a payment, once the project is over. So on August 22nd, when the project is up, if we have hit our $70,000 goal in pledges, then everybody will be charged from their credit card account. If we have not, and then we'll start working on getting everything shipped out. And everything, you know, most everything isn't going to get shipped out till about next summer, about July of 2014. Because the idea is we're going to be premiering the season finale at a special watch party at Comic-Con next year.
Cool. That'll be fun.
Off-site, not in the convention center.
Sure, yeah.
So you don't need a pass to come. Yeah.
Exactly. And, in fact, I think one of the incentives we're going to put on there is a special VIP invite to the season finale showing at Comic-Con next year. So none of this stuff is going to get shipped out till next July when we're actually getting ready to do all that, because some of it is like the thumb drives with the full first season on it. Well, we can't release those until the full first season
exists.
I want to say aired, but that's not.
It's
a series of tubes.
A thumb drive of a table read.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thumb drive of all our table reads, which we do have on
Chris Copeland making sound pew, 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 in the background.
It's really good, because he's not a real radio show.
No.
So that's
there you go.
He's a podcaster who is amazing at art.
There you go.
Should you send us out of here, Justin?
Yes, let's do it.
That's it.
Well, I just want to make sure we got. So watchgeeks.com, I had it up here. You could follow them on Twitter at twitter.com/geeks the show. Same thing, facebook.com/geeks the show. You could throw a like up there and help Ben Cleaver spread the word and essentially be a part of creating a show that is made for you. Right? I think that's a fair way to say it.
I think if you listen to the show, you will enjoy what they're doing at Watch Geeks.
Yeah, there's no way that you wouldn't like it.
Yeah,
it's very much a for geeks, by geeks. You know, we're doing it because we're passionate about the culture and everything that it entails, you know.
Yeah, and it's fun. It looks well done. Way to go. Independent entertainment.
Do it. That's the way it's always going to be now. Well, that was our show. You could send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com. You could follow us on Twitter at GamerlandPod.
Yep.
Like us on Facebook at Gamerland Podcast. Facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast.
I don't know if we've ever tweeted once from a new Gamerland.
I haven't.
I'm going to look into that.
All right. Also, the big thing, too, that we constantly are pushing is to make sure that you go to Facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series. We're going to Betty White this bitch, much like Ben is going to do with this amazing show, Geeks. So do that. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, my new friend Ben Cleaver, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.